Okay. Good afternoon. This slide basically shows the my co-authors and investigators on a project that I'm happy to talk about today. I have no relationships to disclose. Basically, in, by way of background, disparities persist in breastfeeding indicators of any breastfeeding, duration, and the timing of bottle feeding. Lower rates of breastfeeding are found among non-Hispanic blacks and socioeconomically disadvantaged groups. Women who smoke cigarettes are also less likely to breastfeed, and less is known about secondhand smoke exposure and women's decisions to breastfeed. Excuse me 1 minute. The objective of this particular paper is to understand associations between breastfeeding and cigarette smoking, or ETSE, among African American women postpartum, to assess other correlates of breastfeeding breastfeeding duration and exclusivity among these same women. The study was done as part of the NIH DC initiative, whose objective it was to reduce infant mortality in the District of Columbia. The study was funded by the NIH Center for Research on Minority Health and Health Disparities, as well as the NICHD. Collaborating institutions are shown on this slide. The data presented here were collected as part of DC Hope. Project DC Hope was a randomized trial to prevent or reduce pregnancy risks. These are the four risks shown in this slide: to reduce cigarette smoking, exposure to environmental tobacco smoke, depression, and partner abuse. And it also shows the eligible participants were African American, less than 28 weeks gestation, English speaking, et cetera. The sample was 1,044 African American women. 792 completed the postpartum interview and provided self-report data related to breastfeeding. 85 women of this group were removed due to breastfeeding contraindications, including HIV-positive women, women with a positive drug tox screen, and those who were diagnosed with TB postpartum. 707 women remained for the analysis. Data collection consisted of telephone interviews, saliva creatinine assessments, medical records abstractions, and the data analysis was done initially using bivariate comparisons, then we did some correlation analysis, and ultimately multivariable logistic regression models. We did initial models first, and what I'll present today are the final models. This slide shows the dependent variables. Any breastfeeding in this sample, 58% reported any breastfeeding, 33% due to when the postpartum measure was taken, reported we had to cut it in terms of what the duration of the breastfeeding was to 5 or more weeks, as we did for the exclusive breastfeeding for 5 or more weeks. But what you can see is 33% breastfed for 5 or more weeks compared to the national average in 2005 for African American women of 29% who breastfed through 6 months postpartum. Exclusive breastfeeding in our population was 12% at 5 weeks compared to 19% through 3 months for the U.S. average for African American women. And of course, I already mentioned that disparities exist, so clearly the higher rate is for all women in the U.S. This slide just shows the independent variables that were used in the multivariate model. As I said, there were initial models. The variables were organized into these categories: personal factors, psychosocial factors, partner factors, and smoking and ETSE-related factors. The next two slides basically show our population. Most were between 21 and 30. 75% had less than a high school education. Most received Medicaid. Most had prior pregnancies, fewer had live births. Most were single, And you can see that the most were still with the father of the baby as a partner. 17% had no partner. 4% were with a different partner, not the father of the baby. This slide shows the final models. And to orient you, basically, this column is going to show all of the factors that went into the multivariate model for any breastfeeding. This for breastfeeding duration of 5 weeks or more in this column. This column is going to show on every slide the exclusivity of breastfeeding for five or more weeks. And by way of down here at the bottom, you can sort of see it. Significance levels, and when I'm referring to variable levels, I'm talking about, you know, at this particular level, and the cross symbol is reflecting the overall variable significance, not the individual level itself. So hopefully that orients you a little to how the rest of the slides are going to look before the conclusions. Basically, what we found was that in terms of any breastfeeding, the odds of any breastfeeding were reduced among women who had less than a high school education, who had a high school education as compared to any college education. They were also, breastfeeding was also, the odds of doing that were reduced among those who were born in the United States. So we did have about 4% of our sample who were foreign born. So we were able to, and that was a small percent, but still we found significance there. In terms of duration of breastfeeding, the odds of breastfeeding 5 weeks or longer were increased among women who were 31 plus, and the odds of breastfeeding longer and exclusively were decreased among those who are less well-educated. And again, you can see for duration, nativity does make a difference in terms of the length of breastfeeding. This line shows reproductive history and related factors. The majority of the significant variables are on under any breastfeeding and how a mother feels about her pregnancy, about her baby postpartum, and whether or not she used family planning methods at baseline all increase the probability of any breastfeeding, and any prior live births reduce the probability of breastfeeding. The only variables that were significant for either exclusivity or duration were these two related to any family planning use postpartum, women who reported no family planning use postpartum because they were not sexually active, had an increased probability of longer breastfeeding duration, as did those who said that they had used family planning. This slide presents the psychosocial factors, behavioral coping, which was measured by a scale called the NMR. Women who had more positive coping strategies had an increased probability of breastfeeding, and those who were depressed at baseline and postpartum had a reduced probability or odds of exclusive breastfeeding through 5 weeks duration. This slide shows the interpersonal factors that went into the final model. Here you can see that there are no interpersonal factors, partner related or otherwise, that contributed to duration and exclusivity, but having a partner at baseline and not at postpartum increased the probability of any the crosses for the overall variable. This variable is significant, but here is where the significance level is. If for women who had a partner at both baseline and postpartum had an increased probability of any breastfeeding compared to those who did not have a partner at either period. This slide shows intimate partner violence factors that came into the final model. None were significant in the initial models, so they didn't come into the final model for exclusivity and duration. For any breastfeeding, these variables came in, none of which were significant when considering all the other factors that I've just presented. And lastly, here's smoking and environmental tobacco smoke exposure. The only variable that was significant in the final model was one that was taken at baseline. In fact, it was one of the screening items that we had that determined whether or not someone was at risk. And women answered that they had either smoked within 6 months of becoming pregnant or since their pregnancy, and that all women who said that were classified as smokers, or they said they had been environmentally tobacco smoke exposed during their pregnancy at some point, and hence they were ETS exposed only. They couldn't be both. So in this slide, what you can see is that women were less likely to breastfeed at all if they were smokers and if they were ETS exposed. So this is fairly, the smoking variable is fairly consistent with literature. The ETSE, I don't know that that's been presented before. Perhaps it has, I'm not sure. And so that's basically the final model, all the variables that went into that. In conclusion, clearly psychosocial, cultural, and environmental factors all appear to contribute to breastfeeding. Culture, as measured by country of origin, plays a role in breastfeeding initiation and duration. Pregnancy intentions, attitudes towards pregnancy and parenting, as well as sustained partner relationships across pregnancy, appear to be important to increasing breastfeeding initiation. Addressing depression and coping skills postpartum may be important to both initiation and sustained breastfeeding. Smoking and ETS exposure at screening were related to breastfeeding and in the expected direction, but other factors appear to play a stronger role in breastfeeding decision-making. Implications: the results highlight the need for focused education to increase breastfeeding among younger women and those with less education. And clearly there are a number of host of other factors beyond just patient education about breastfeeding that could be addressed that might improve breastfeeding initiation, duration, and exclusivity. That's it. Thank you. Yeah. This right here. Yeah. And the reduced likelihood of breastfeeding for those who were. So the, what was shown in these, I forgot to say this when I was talking, in these parentheses is the reference category. So the reference category is not born in the U.S., and the variable is showing, the results are showing that there's a reduced odds of any breastfeeding, because it's below one, of any breastfeeding among women who were born in the U.S. And I don't have, I apologize, I don't have the bivariates here to show you what percent. You know, due to the length of these presentations, I couldn't go through all of the bivariates to kind of get you up to how these variables ultimately ended up in the model, but are more likely to breastfeed. So in the bivariates, they were more likely to breastfeed, but once you take them into these models, it's a logistic model, and so it gives you the odds of or the probability of something. you know, maybe it would have been easier to kind of follow, to have seen just the bivariates, you know. Yes.
Mm-hmm. What sort of model are you using to explain the relationship between smoking and sleeping?
What sort of model?
Yeah. So physiological, social.
Oh, in terms, you know, I just got these data last week for the second time, so I haven't really done a lot of thinking about how to explain it and in the long term. Why don't women breastfeed? I mean, it's a behavioral risk in the same way that substance use is a behavioral risk, and there's been associations between substance use and not breastfeeding. So I don't know if it is or not. I really don't know. Clearly, if you smoke a lot, you can't follow the guidelines of waiting 3 or 4 hours to breastfeed after smoking a cigarette or after exposure to environmental tobacco smoke. So it precludes someone who is conscientious about not wanting to, you know, expose the infant. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great question. I don't know that enough is known, and that would be a great exploratory research study to find out why. It has been. There's a number of articles in the literature about women not breastfeeding who smoke. That's a consequence. And I thought I understood what you were asking is, why do they do it? Is that not what you were asking? Why don't smokers breastfeed? Right? Yeah. Great question. Yes. And the education is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah,
that's great. Any other questions? Yes. Yeah, we had a little bit there, but all the women are residents of Washington, D.C. All of them are African American. 75% or more receive Medicaid or some kind of, services. 38% were employed. 75% had less than a high school education or less. Excuse me. Other demographics you might be interested in. And then in the hospitals themselves would be Washington Hospital Center, Columbia Hospital when it was open, because this was done in like 2000 to 2003. I think we even had DC Hospital when that was still open before it closed. We had GW, we had Howard, Providence chartered. It's fairly citywide, fairly representative as well of pregnant women in the in the District of Columbia.
Okay, our next presenter will be Dr. Lawrence Grummer-Strawn. Dr. Grummer-Strawn is the chief of the nutrition branch at the CDC. He earned his PhD in public affairs at Princeton University, specializing in demography. He has worked at CDC for 17 years, 15 of those in nutrition. He's an epidemiologist who has published nearly 100 articles on breastfeeding, child mortality, vitamin and mineral deficiencies, child growth, and child obesity. He's a co-author of the CDC 2000 Growth Charts and continues to do research on the measurement of adiposity in children. He was on the advisory group for the WHO International Growth Standard released in 2006, and he oversees the operation use of the CDC Pediatric and Pregnancy Nutrition Surveillance Systems. He co-edited the Health and Human Services Blueprint for Action on Breastfeeding, and along with Catherine Sheely, is a co-author of the CDC Guide to Breastfeeding Interventions. He's responsible for CDC's collection of breastfeeding data in the National Immunization Survey, the State Breastfeeding Report Card, the CDC Survey of Maternity Care Practices Related to Breastfeeding, and the State Breastfeeding Coalition's teleconference. He oversees CDC's International Micronutrient Prevention and Control Program, providing technical assistance to developing countries on vitamin and mineral supplementation and fortification programs. Dr. Grimmestrand serves as liaison to the Vitamin and Mineral Deficiency 10-Year Strategy, the U.S. Breastfeeding Committee, the Breastfeeding Promotion Consortium, and the AAP Committee on Nutrition, and is on the Executive Committee of the International Society for Research on Human Milk and Lactation.